Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have a special guest with me, Megan. I am so excited for you guys to know her. She is one of my amazing speakers that I'm bringing to Nashville for Scale Up. And she just has a very unique way of getting you to understand how speaking could literally change not only your business, but your life. So we're going to chat with her a little bit about how that works today. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited about all of it. I can't wait to join you and the whole gang in Nashville too.
I know, it's going to be so much fun. So tell us a little bit kind of who you are and how you got started in entrepreneurship.
Cool. Yeah, sounds great. So I am a self-proclaimed goofball. Like I was always class clown and stuff growing up, but I never like knew I could do anything with that. So when I was 18, I stumbled into corporate America. I started working for a bank and then I climbed the ranks of corporate pretty quickly and worked in retail banking for 10 years. And then alongside that, I learned about improv when my older brother invited me to come and perform. So I was like, oh my gosh, good. I have somewhere to get my silly wiggles out. And then I'll go be professional by day. And it immediately brought, you know, new light to where my life was actually going to head. And that was understanding these really fun tools from playtime were really helping me in my workspace. And then I grew into my entrepreneur space by leaving corporate eventually, but it started by teaching workshops of improv rules in the business space, like teaching other corporate people what I was learning about better communication, more active listening, getting really creative when we felt stuck. And that's what my business started as about 13 years ago, just doing team building events and workshops and showing people that playful side. And then eventually jumped corporate ship altogether and that's
here you
that's
are.
What I do. Yeah.
That's here we awesome. Are. I love that too. And just even talking about bringing out the playful side in entrepreneurship, because I know for me, especially, I am like a driver. I'm like, I will sit in this office or this podcast desk and I will record for hours. And that's one of the things over the last couple of years, especially I think as I became a mom and now I have a toddler, is I'm like, I have to learn how to be more fun and let loose a little bit. So the idea of bringing that into the workplace, I could imagine that that's beneficial. But also for me, I noticed like the more fun I'm having, the more money I make.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It's like they go hand in hand because you're just attracting at a higher level. You're just vibrating differently, you know?
Yes.
So from there, how did you go into hosting these amazing keynotes as a speaker yourself?
Yeah, well, it is kind of funny because I didn't really know what all was possible. And thankfully, I knew about improv and the core rule of yes and. So as opportunities or ideas sort of presented themselves, I just tried stuff. So I actually started giving my own keynotes just at people requesting it. They heard that I was doing these workshops and they're like, do you ever just like come talk about this? And I was like, yes, I do. tell me more. And so I sort of stumbled my way into doing keynotes and then realized, wait a minute, speaking is very, very powerful in connecting. I was still using those same rules in how I was trying to interact with the audience with a more meaningful connection. And then it just sort of took off from there. So I continued doing all the workshops. It really shifted to like leadership communication summits. Like I kind of ditched the whole team building tagline because people are like, ooh, can you come to icebreakers or, you know, raft trips and bowling trips. Those are team break or team building. You know, I'm like, this is in-depth communication. Anyway, I'm tangenting because I get so excited about it. But I sort of stumbled into the space of speaking myself. And then when I became aware of it, I was like, oh, now how do I refine this even more? And I was doing one-on-one, almost like life coaching with improv for a while there. And then suddenly a few years ago, I started getting all these requests for people that wanted help getting on stage. They didn't know how to find their voice. They didn't know what their story was. They didn't know how to do something with it. And so as crazy as it sounds, I knew these skills worked for public speaking and I would like throw that in the mixed bag of what I promoted. But I only in the past several years really laser focused because the need was there. People were like, totally. Oh, I need to know how to use my voice more effectively.
Yeah. So before we go down that, because I definitely want to talk on helping these practitioners like find their voice and maybe even they feel like they don't have a story, dive a little into that concept of yes and that you learned through improv.
Yeah. Oh man, it's two little words that will change your entire life because yes in improv space is for acceptance and acknowledgement of what is. It is not agreement. And a lot of people have a bad relationship with the word yes because we think it means we have to agree with someone. Or we're going to have this calendar full of things we don't want to do and feel all these obligations. And so we want to wipe that away. In yes and land in improv, yes is just to accept and acknowledge whatever the thing is that we need to tackle that day, whatever idea, whatever problem, whatever, right? And is our action word. And that is where we get to build and expand and stretch and see what solutions are possible. Where do we get to enlist the help of others or what brainstorming needs to happen? What skill sets do we have to start navigating through it? And those two words together keep us in like this ready position for life of going, okay, here's the next thing. How can I be as attentive to it as possible and productive and positive, especially when it's maybe something I don't love or agree with or understand. So at its very core, it's just to help us be very quick to acknowledge what needs to be acknowledged and move forward instead of getting stuck.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like so many ways that I could even just go on a tangent of all the yes ands. Like, yes, I can make a lot of money and it can be easy. Right? Yeah. Like, yes, I can serve all these patients and still have time for my family. Totally. And yeah, I might have to do a whole podcast on that. I love that concept.
It's great. I want to throw in one other thing before we shift gears too much, because sometimes it helps people to understand the yes and when they know what the opposite is, which is what we normally do as humans. And that's yeah, but it's the arch nemesis of yes and. So just a super quick note on that is, it, like yes and is really easy when you hear it. And a lot of times people are stuck in the yeah, but of like, oh, and that's where excuses or negative stuff.
Limiting beliefs be like, start to come out.
I could have my own business, but then it's going to affect the way that I have a relationship with my kids because I'm always at my desk at home. Like it really is the same things that we're dealing with. It's the shift of energy. It's keeping proactive vibes instead of being like, oh, now this happens and then this happens and we block ourselves and we block other people with are right. We could do an entire episode just on
that. We could. So tell us a little bit of how you kind of get people to, you don't have to give us all your juicy secrets because I know we're saving that for Nashville, but you know, I could imagine some of the women that I work with would be like, or some of the men would say, I don't know what my story is. I don't know how to tell my story. I don't have a story. I'm not that important. I'm not that cool. I don't have a story to tell people. What is your answer to that?
My answer is yes. You have a story. And
you're going to tell it.
And the thing that's interesting is that everyone does have a story. And even if it's different or a lot of times, people think it's not worth telling. It's not like as traumatic as other people's stories or doesn't have these enormous pitfalls. Although I would argue they probably do and they just don't know it yet. But when we understand the things that have shaped our character, our story is a whole bunch of little mini touch points in our whole life that has really shaped who we are today. And the better we understand it, whether or not you tell like a fully fleshed out story doesn't really matter. It just really helps people to build a kind of like a platform of why they care so much about what they do. They often don't realize what their own experiences have done to serve them in how they show up in their business. And when they really understand that, they serve their clients better. And then like we talked about, we're having more fun. We're making more money. Some of those things you said at the top of the show is like people become in this new level of alignment with who they really are at their core.
And I love that. I think that the more you know yourself, the more your story is going to emerge as well. Because I know for me, just even over the last 3 years, the more I like peel back layers of myself and the more I go deep, deep, deep into just self-discovery, it's like, man, I have way more stories than I thought I did. I've overcome a lot of shit in a short 35 years that I'm sure would resonate with somebody, you know, and even I think probably you have a podcast as well. Even that imposter syndrome that comes with starting a podcast, like, am I going to be able to record an episode and have something to talk about and all of this? And it's like, oh yeah, just start talking about your life. There's plenty of shit to keep talking about.
Yeah. The thing that people don't realize too is sometimes the gift is in those little simplicity or moments of simplicity that we're having challenges, especially as entrepreneurs. We hit lots of road bumps and things that we have to learn and adapt and ask ourselves hard questions about what we need to do next. And the more people who share about those things, the more we realize the field is kind of like open for everybody. We're all going through something that is relatable. And that is the most important thing with people sharing stories, is it shows that they are relatable. It's going to draw people in because they're going to see that little human element that we try to, you know, put this facade on that we're
totally
we're doing everything so perfectly. And that's bull crap.
Yeah. I think that whether it's probably a superpower, but sometimes I don't feel that way, but I share a lot on social media, like behind the scenes, what's good, what's bad, what's stressful, what's not. And I just have always, that's just always been me. I've always chose to be that way. But that's one of the things I love about social media too, is like sometimes you can really get to see how hard things are, but also how good things get to be. Oh, like, man. I don't know if I would be such a dreamer or such a visionary had I not had social media in this lifetime as an entrepreneur to be able to be like, damn, if they can do that, so can I.
Yeah. Oh, I love the behind the scenes stuff, because that's exactly where the day-to-day story unfolds and it makes it seem approachable. And that's what really where like my foundation for the speaker coaching I do now really came from, me going, whoa, I looked at my own journey and I saw all these missteps that I didn't even realize were missteps at the time, because I was just learning as I went.
Yeah.
I was like, I can get someone from point A to point B in 6 months, what took me 10 years of fumbling. I think that is the coolest thing that a lot of entrepreneurs share, is we have these keys that unlock stuff at a rapid rate. And that is part of the fun of it, is it's all the good, all the bad, and helping people navigate through that challenging part with more grace, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And more ease and more speed, right? Like,
yeah,
just more speed. Like, I think that's one of the beautiful things about coaching. Like you said, somebody can take you from point A to point B in half the time that it took us to get there.
Yeah. And to your point, when I pick coaches, I only want to see people who are sharing stuff that's behind the scenes.
Both.
Otherwise, I'm like, what would they possibly know about my life if they're not a parent juggling a bunch of things or, you know, all these different things?
Yeah. Like,
if I didn't have that little sneak peek too with social media, I think that's really what has helped me blow up so much in a short amount of time once I finally like really kind of put my shoulder.
Put yourself out there.
Right way. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say makes the way that you teach speaking different than any other speaking coach out there?
I think what really sets the bar higher is that I give a ton of different insights that I learned in improv and performance. I have been performing improv for over 15 years. I also do stand-up comedy, which has its own set of rules.
I was going to say, don't you have like some awards or something that you need to talk about?
Yeah. I'm an award-winning author and an award-winning comedian. You know, those things are all well and good. And there, what people don't often think about is that there is structure. And so when you use the rules that are there to make it so that you are ready to be present in the moment and take action. So I have very heavy influence of things I've learned from performance and improv. Not that people have to perform per se, but that's what we're doing every day. We are all a character in the performance of our life. So when you can use those performance tools, it really sets you apart quicker in how you step onto stage with really a centered sense of command and authority in what you're saying. There's so much trust and these tools that just help lift each other up. And so we all win together. And it's just, all these things have such a great energy to draw people in. I don't know of any other speaking space that specifically teaches these types of principles in their curriculum. I mean, they may, but I haven't found them. And I searched because I was like, maybe someone else. I did the same imposter thing, Stephanie, where I was like, oh, someone else is probably already doing this. Why would anyone want to learn this for me? Uh-huh. And then I actually did do a deep dive and I was like, there's improv out there. There's speaking out there. And it's the hybrid of getting equipped. So when things do inevitably go sideways or, you know, some interruption or technical difficulty, or if you're speaking at a banquet and a tray of food falls over, you know, there's things that you learn.
You pull from, And just even the performance aspect, we've all been in a room where people are horrible at speaking. And you're like, this is terrible. I don't want to sit here anymore. I'm not engaged. Or, you know, I know one of the things that we had chatted about too prior to recording the show is like, I really do like to use humor a lot too. I like to have fun. And I think that often when I'm teaching, even just like to my clients, that comes across. And so I've been in rooms where it's like you could hear a pin drop and it's just so dull. And so I think everybody should try to have these principles inside of their talks that you're mentioning. What do you think when somebody is like thinking about launching a speaking career? Because for some people, they really should, but they don't have they have the knowledge, they have the expertise, especially like my audience is a bunch of doctors. Like they went to school for a really long time. They have so much knowledge they can share with others. And often we take it for granted that everybody else has the same knowledge just because we live in our own little bubbles. But I know for a lot of them, they're really nervous about speaking, even though it would add tons of revenue to their business, even if it's not speaking on huge stages like we're talking about, but even if it's like speaking to different audiences within their local community and different chambers, different small businesses and stuff like that. So what would you say to them if they're just like nervous to put themselves out there?
Yeah. I mean, you were kind of already alluding to it. It is just like taking away the scariness of what you think of when you hear speaking, because people do often think of like a huge conference stage and spotlights and blah, blah, blah. And that can be really overwhelming. And not everyone wants to speak on those stages. And to what your point was just then of talking to groups in your community and getting out there and having conversations, you think about like basic networking groups where people all do their 1 minute pitch. Mm-hmm. And if you actually can refine that in a way where you're telling part of your story and a tool that you serve your audience with, a certain technique you have that is something you're really passionate about, it's merging your personal experience with a tool so they feel like they're learning something right away. Like you can get a lot into 1 minute and not throwing those things away of just like not thinking them as the same as speaking. And the voice you have with your social media posts, like if people don't use social media yet, I hope that that is not necessarily the case.
If they're not on social media, they should not be listening to this podcast.
Right. Yeah. It does make people, I know, because I actually do a lot of improv workshops in healthcare. Healthcare lawyers and real estate agents are my top three repeat for workplace because they're like needing these communication skills. But if we treat every interaction as an opportunity to be, you know, it's a speaking engagement. Really, because we're trying to enlist people in what we know so far, and we're sharing it in a way that impacts when we understand what our story is and why we serve differently. So I don't know if that really has like massive clarity on that, but it is.
No, like, I love that idea though. Like, yeah, I love that idea of treating every opportunity where we get to speak as like a speaking engagement. Like even us leading our teams during team meeting, a lot of them have teams and it's like, okay, treat that like a true speaking engagement. Weave and tie in parts of your story to let them know why you're recommending this marketing concept or why you're recommending this certain thing. Tie in parts of your story of things you tried in the past and how it worked or it didn't work or how it shaped your perception. I love that. They could totally do that tomorrow in their meeting and be like, hey, I'm going to really practice using my voice in front of people that I trust or that trust me and respect me so that I can prime that muscle and exercise that muscle and get it to a point to where I can then go and use it outside of my community too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that is it, like simplifying our things. I think about even the number of times that I've had a very meaningful conversation at the checkout at the store because I have that few moments. They're sick of hearing, they're like, how's your day? Fine. Like that's all so annoying and mundane. And so I like keep it on anytime I'm interacting with another human. And I have gotten business from having a 1 minute conversation with someone at a check stand. And like, I know that probably sounds scary to some people, but you really just need to shape your perspective to be like, every time I'm opening my mouth and someone else is hearing it, it's speaking. And really just stay present with how awesome that is. Like the opportunities to expand our business are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. We just completed a challenge in January, like a health business body challenge, and everybody really got pushed outside their comfort zone. I was pushing them with things to try in business outreach that maybe they would never do otherwise because it feels scary, the potential of rejection and things like that. And for one of my clients, I was like, I want to challenge you to record an actual video every day, whatever, just Instagram, even if it's on stories, it doesn't have to live there forever. It could live there for 24 hours, but record yourself speaking on stories every day, saying something so that you get more comfortable using your voice and like really trying to pull that out of her. And I feel like it helps with more practice that you have. Do you have any wild, funny stories you could tell us about speaking? Like, has there been a moment where you have completely forgot what you were going to say on stage and you like panic, or do you just use your improv to help you?
Oh, well, that's, I think, whatever higher power that exists, that's something that's all redefining based off of, you know, my religious upbringing that has made some shifts. But I absolutely have a number of times, I always know what I'm going to start with, my opening line, and I know my ending line, and I've always given myself a lot of grace. And when I forget things, I am grateful that I have the tools, because then I know to take a moment, to take a breath. The pause will feel like an eternity, but in that same pause, the audience doesn't know unless you let them know. And so it happens less when I'm doing speaking gigs, but when I do comedy shows, which I don't do as often right now, I for sure go, oh crap. Or like I've started it where I accidentally said the punchline at the beginning instead of at the end where it belongs. And people don't know, you know, because I don't know, have these tools so deeply rooted inside now. And that's why I am even more passionate about it, because I still see where I could have completely crashed and burned. Mm-hmm. And yet I practice these every single day. I think about it all the time. And then when I'm in that moment, I know it works. And so I can get myself back on some kind of a track. And then eventually, like, I know, you know, like I said, I always know exactly where I'm starting and exactly where I'm ending. So I at least have that comfort zone. And then, yeah, the tools literally there are to save my life when I'm like, okay, I don't remember what bit was next, or, oh, I, you know, because that happens to everyone. The most seasoned speakers, I still hear that and still get nervous as crap before I step on stage because I want to do a
good job. Oh my gosh. I'm going to probably vomit 100 times before scale up in Nashville. I am already sweating thinking about it, but it'll be okay. Hopefully it's a room full of people who have been listening to the podcast and they like me already. So I'm even thinking of pulling out parts of your story that could work for you. Do you just encourage people, if they don't know what their story is, to maybe start with some things that have really altered their life or changed the course of their life and just kind of journal and pull out pieces that they remember? Or what's that practice look like?
Yeah, there is part in my actual like formal training. There is a whole element that is a story storm. It's like brainstorming on your stories. And we basically go through that process of like, it's sort of like word association. You know, if you think of a word and then you think of something else because of it, it's getting ourselves into a mindset of dumping things that we maybe even forgot were there. Because some of us have like a really formative experience or several, and those are certainly wonderful. And you can usually get a lot of juicy nuggets out of those. And then a lot is between the lines. So it's absolutely either a lot of written journaling, typing, whatever works for people. I highly recommend people to audio record themselves, or as horrible as it is to watch yourself, if you video record yourself, you will advance so much quicker because you'll hear the way you share stories. And if you just let your train of thought just start dumping stuff out unrestricted, that's where the juicy nuggets hide. And you'll see that there's actually a lot of touch points that tether, like your anchor message will show up in multiple stories when you really just start unleashing.
That's such a good point, because I used to be terrified probably even 4 years ago to be on camera. Like, you never would have caught me on camera at all. And one of the things that I notice sometimes, and I think we're always our hardest critic, is they'll like, I'll do a training or a workshop or a training for my mastermind, and I'll get off and I'll be like, God, well, I could have made that better or whatever. And then I'll listen back to it, you know, just to try and pick out parts, like where could I have made it better? And I'm like, damn, that actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
But because I think I've been practicing for 4 years, I can even tell as a teacher or as a mentor how much I've grown over the last year just by being on camera more. So like that just sent off a little light bulb in my head of, wow, that probably has actually improved my speaking and I didn't even realize it.
Oh, it for sure will do that. And it is hard to watch ourselves, but that's when you can also see when you're in flow. Because when mm-hmm. we're self-critiquing, that's not a terrible thing when we get to go, oh, you know what I wish I would have said? It helps us to refine our message quicker. And the enthusiasm or the emotion we use to share, like I'm a crier. That's one of the running jokes for my audience is that I'm a comedian and I cry all the freaking time because I'm always bringing in like these tender stories. And those things are what draws my audience in. The same is true for anyone else. When you have your expertise and you know why those things matter to you, it brings a different type of magnetism to whatever your message is. And when you can watch yourself and put your comfort level on the brink by putting it into practice, I mean, you just figure it out that much quicker. Just like what everybody has done with their area of expertise. All of your practitioners are really good at what they're doing because they are practicing
literally every day
ongoing, right? So it's exactly the same thing with speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much sense. As we round up here, what would you say, because you've been in entrepreneurship for a while, what would you say that one thing for our listeners that maybe has made all the difference in your entrepreneurship career? So either like a piece of advice you would give them or a lesson that you learned that has really changed kind of your trajectory?
Ooh, okay. Oh, there's a lot of them. I think the ones that I've become the most aware of in these past few years is realizing that I have been worth investing in for my own. Like I was too afraid that like I wouldn't get results the way that people say they could give results. And so I really finally came to terms with like trusting every business book I've ever read about having really great mentors and coaches and filling the gaps where I knew I was lacking by investing more than I ever have in coaches in the past few years and putting myself in, I guess, in a new category. You know, like we talk a lot about, I mean, I assume you do in your space too, like what is the 10X version of ourselves or the 10.0 or whatever expanded version, and trying to be that person now in order to achieve the level. I think I finally had a shift when I, even though I was scared, I put myself in the rooms with the people that I saw as like people that were leaps ahead of me so I could learn from them quicker. And it really, it was a big shift for me because as like a kooky comedian, goofball, whatever, it was hard for me to take myself seriously because I thought, oh, I'm just
telling you. You had always been known as the funny one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it really took some soul searching and realizing that the bumps I've hit and the challenges I've faced were not defeats because I hadn't quit yet. But I really kind of thought, well, maybe this isn't meant for me a number of different times. And so, yeah, it was some
reflection. I love that. I love that. And just knowing that you're worth investing in, what radical like self-responsibility. That's so amazing too, because I know it's so easy to be like, oh, that program or that coach or that mentor is like too expensive. And it's like, no, you're actually making an investment in yourself. It's not even in the program, an investment to show up and execute and be persistent and implement. And I could see how for some people that might be part of the equation of really diving deep in that. So I love that. I had never really considered that before. So thank you for sharing that with us.
There was a little twist. I'll share this before I wrap up.
Yeah.
I invested in some really good coaching. And then I want to also share that I took a leap on a really expensive coaching situation for something that I really felt like that was the right fit for me. And it turned out to be not the right fit. Mm-hmm. And I was really mad about it because it was a large chunk of money. And I felt taken advantage of. I felt misled because it did not deliver. It wasn't even the same curriculum like I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And then when I sat with that, I actually really had this moment of going, you know what? I invested in that though because I was still investing in me. That wasn't the right tool. And it really made me more aware of how I want to make sure that I absolutely, I mean, I am an over-deliverer anyway, but it really brought into mind the clarity of ethics, like really being true to ourselves and what we deliver, being very responsible in that space. But that deepened my relationship and appreciation for myself because I took that risk trusting in me and going, those are my next steps. And I'm still doing those things now, just in a different way. And so sometimes we learn expensive lessons that are still not a loss. You know, I don't know if that came up for certain reasons, but I'm like,
yeah, that was coming through you. You had to share that. So, so true. I mean, honestly, my expensive mistakes probably taught me just as much, if not more, as my cheap mistakes that I've made, you know, could jam on some of that too. But I think it's also important to just have the conversation. We're obviously both in the consulting space. Like, not all coaches are created equal, just like not every chiropractor is created equal or every comedian is created equal. We all have our unique talents, and sometimes we have to be willing to take that chance to see what's possible. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited to see you in a couple of months. And where can listeners connect with you if they want to get to know you a little bit better?
I know it sounds kooky, but my handle has forever been Kooky Megan, KookyMegan, ever since I picked my Twitter handle 15 years ago or whatever. I was like, yeah. That's it for now. It's easy to remember. Kooky Megan. Yeah. You can find me all over the place very easily.
Great. All right, guys. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.